Thank you, Tanya and Cindy, for playing the instruments, and Greg for leading the singing. And I really appreciated hearing you sing this morning. I thought it was really good. And thank you, Kathy, for providing special music. You might be saying, well, why are you up here and not Pastor Rich? Well, it's just the way things worked out. And it seems like a long time since I've been up here. The last time I preached up here, there was nobody back there. The first week that we recorded the service, we tried it in here. And with nobody in here, or maybe, I don't know if it was the first week, but there was an echo in here when there wasn't anybody to absorb the sound. And so that was just very unusual. So we've done some different things. Because we're having a shortened up service, we decided just one person would come up here and do things. So that's what's going on. Pastor Rich is alive and well, and so don't need to worry about him for that. Well, what do we talk about today? Well, you know, we've been encouraging you to read through the Bible, right? And I know that quite a number of you are doing that because you've told me, you've asked me questions about different things. Well, one of the passages of Scripture that really hit me when I was reading through the Bible was Psalm chapter 40. And it's about a month or so, it's at least a month since I read through this. And it was just one of those passages of Scripture that jumps out at you and it's like, this applies to us today. You look at all the things that are going on in the world and it's easy to get discouraged. What are we going to do? But for me, this passage really spoke to me. So if you're able, we'll ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word and then we'll look at what the Lord has to say to us. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto them. If I would declare and speak unto them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I did not hide thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold on me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, ah, ah. Let all that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Thank you. You may be seated. What I've titled this is Waiting Patiently. How many of you like to wait patiently? what does it mean to be patient? Well, the dictionary says patience is the capacity or ability to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. That's a little tough, right? Well, do you ever go to the doctor? What do they call you when you're there? You're a patient. Maybe you all thought of this before, but I never put the two together. When you're a patient, you have the ability to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, and suffering. That's why you're at the doctor, right? You're patient. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm not good at patience. Just up front, I'll tell you, I want it to happen. I want it to happen now. But it doesn't always work that way, and God's working on me. And I guess I'm a little better than I was 10 years ago, but I don't know. But anyway, let's look at what David says. First of all, Psalm chapter 40. If there's a little heading up there at the top that says, a Psalm of David. So David was the guy that wrote this. Now, David was through a lot of issues in his life, right? Good times, bad times, people chasing after him, trying to kill him, you know, but God led him through it. And the psalm also says it's written to the chief musician. Now, a psalm was originally what? A song. It was something that was sung. And so David is writing something to the chief musician, or some people might say the choir director. Basically, David's writing a song for him, and they're going to perform it. So what does David say in this? In verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. Do you ever have to wait on the Lord for anything? We all do. God's timing, for some reason, isn't the same as our timing. And a lot of times it's really challenging, really difficult to wait for God's timing. But David's saying, I waited patiently for the Lord. Not just that he waited, but he waited patiently. And what happens then? It says, he inclined unto me. When he inclines, that means that he leaned down. This is a figurative way of talking, but God leaned down to him. God closed the distance between David and himself. David could sense that God was coming closer to him. So after David's waited on the Lord is reaching out to him. And it says that he heard his cry. Isn't that great to think that God hears our cry? You know, what are we supposed to do with our problems? Take them to the Lord. And so that's what David's doing. He's faced a lot of issues in his life. He's speaking from life experience here, and he's saying, I waited patiently. God reached out to him and heard what he had to say. So we move on. For those of you that like three-point outlines, I don't know if anybody's taking notes, but verses 1 to 5 I have listed as David's deliverance, 6 to 12 is David's declaration, and 13 to 17 is David's dialogue with God. All right, back to verse 2. Verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Now, I don't know if David was ever actually in a physical pit, but he felt like he was in a pit. Remember when Saul was chasing after him and trying to kill him? And there was just multiple times in his life when he felt like he was in a place that he couldn't get out of. You ever felt like that? There's a situation, a circumstance in your life that you just can't feel like it can get out of. Well, let me illustrate this. Now, this might sound a little corny, but I'm going to tell you a story about our dog. Okay? Now, we had a dog that's named, well, wasn't its original name, but we started calling it Goober. For those of you that like Mayberry, you can probably understand what this dog's intelligence level was. Okay? All right. So, Goober wanders around the farm and does whatever dogs do. Well, for a while, you know, it was fine. And one day we couldn't find it. It was gone for a couple of days. Didn't know what happened to it. He'd call for it, wouldn't come. I mean, always came home, you know, always, most of the time was a good dog. But nowhere around. For a couple of days, she's gone. Well, then one Sunday afternoon, Goober comes, trotting up the lane, hardly able to walk, hungry, thirsty. Paws were just raw on her front feet on the bottom. It's like, what in the world happened to this? Didn't know. Well, it was a couple of weeks later, I heard from a neighbor that they had been doing some construction and they had dug a hole, a deep hole. And for some reason, our Goober dog got in this hole and apparently was trying to get out but couldn't crawl up the sides. And they put a ladder down in and the dog was able to get, you know, it wasn't completely vertical but slanted, but the dog was able to get up the ladder and get out of the hole. Well, that's sort of like us. We get in a situation of sin and problems and turmoil in our life, and God puts a ladder down that helps us to get up. That's what David's talking about here in verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. We were all stuck in a pit of sin and problems and turmoil, and God made a way that we could be rescued. He says it brought us out of the miry clay. I don't know if you've ever worked in mud. Mud's not fun. But clay, you know, that good red clay, you walk around and you get it on your boots. And it just keeps building up. And after a while, you've got clay that thick sticking on your boots and you can't get it off and you can't hardly walk. Well, that's the way David felt. He wasn't making any progress. He couldn't get going. So he's saying God brought him up out of the pit, brought him out of the miry clay. And then it says he set his feet upon a rock. A rock. The idea of a rock is a solid place, a secure place. Who's our rock? Christ is our rock. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, it talks about a spiritual rock. And this is actually talking about the Israelites. They had a spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. So David is saying that God took him out of those bad situations and placed him on a rock. And then it says he established his going. He made it possible for him to get going with life. Gave him guidance. We move on to verse 3. He hath put a new song in my heart. You got a new song in your heart? What happens when a person gets saved? Their whole attitude, their whole philosophy, their whole outlook on life changes. You should be different than you were before you became a Christian. God has put a new song in your heart. And what's the song talking about? It says, even praise unto our God. Before you were a Christian, did you want to praise God? Did you want to glorify God? Did you even care about God? Probably not. But once a person's come into a relationship with God, we want to praise Him. And not only are we going to praise God, but in the end of verse 3 it says, many shall see it. Wow. Are other people seeing your relationship with God? Are you different from the people around you? Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. If we've got a right testimony, if we're living the way we should, other people are going to see it. And that should be drawing other people to Himself. This week when I was visiting with Rich Rice, he made the statement, he says, well, I guess God's not done with me yet. I'm still here. You know, and he's going to have opportunities to share how God has brought him through that situation. There's 2 weeks in his life he doesn't remember a thing about. He remembers things before that. He remembers things after that, but there's 2 weeks that he doesn't remember anything. He's going to have a testimony. He's going to be able to praise the Lord, and hopefully other people will put their trust in him because of that. Verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Is that the way the world thinks? Oh, if we're... No, the world thinks blessed is the person that's got a lot of money, that's got a lot of toys, that's got the fancy house. But what's David saying? And David was king. He had all this good stuff, you know? And he's saying, where's the true blessing at? The person that makes God his trust. And respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. David, the person's blessed that's trusting in God. When it talks about respecting the proud, that's paying attention to what man says, the philosophy of other people, what your own ideas are of how things should be. David's saying that's not the person that's blessed. It's not the person that's chasing and following after people, but the person that's following after God. The end of the verse concludes that are turned aside to lies. There's a whole lot of lies going on in our world today. And there's all kinds of people following after those lies. Where do we need to go back to? We need to go back to the Lord. In verse 5, many, O Lord, my God. Now you want to notice here that he's addressing God. He's using two names of God. O Lord, that's the idea of Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. So he's got a special relationship with God in that way. And then he says, my God, that's the idea of the supreme being. And it's not just God in a general sense, but it's my God. He's got a personal relationship with this supreme God who has a covenant with him. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works that thou hast done. Think about it. Has God done any wonderful works that you can in your life? Have you ever seen him do anything good? Yeah, a whole lot of them. We'll see as we get along a little further here. But God has done all kinds of great and wonderful things. And the verse continues, and thy thoughts which are to usward. He's praising God for his thoughts toward us. Now, I was thinking about this. Why would God want to mess around with us? We're just a bunch of rotten, lousy sinners who have a tendency to go off and rebel and do our own thing. And yet he thinks about us. We are in his thoughts. And the thing that amazes me is that he can think about Pastor Rich, and he can think about Alex, and he can think about Larry and Tom all at the same time. And he knows that. We are in his thoughts. So it says that we are... We're in his thought. He thinks about us. It says, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. What's he talking about there? Reckoned up. There's too many to remember. There's too many to count the number of times that God has provided wondrous works toward us and that we've been in his thoughts. And the verse continues, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God's blessings are to you are more than you can be that you can count. Sit down, you know, if you're bored, sit down and make a list of blessings God has given you. You know, I got up this morning. I was able to get out of bed. I was able to see. Most of the time, I did have an ocular migraine for a while, but that went away. But anyway, you know, and I'm able to eat, and I'm able to speak, and interact with other people. God's blessings to us are more than we can count. So now we're moving on to the next section, which is David's declaration. In verse 6, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. But I thought in the Old Testament they were required to bring sacrifices. Were they? Yeah. Why were they required to bring the sacrifices? Because they had sinned. They had disobeyed God. God didn't really want the sacrifices. What did he want? Obedience. What does God want out of you? Does he want you to come to church? Does he want you to read your Bible? What does he want you to do? Well, yeah, they're good things. But he doesn't want you just to read your Bible. He wants you to live the Bible. He wants obedience. It says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. God's primary desire wasn't for us to get down a list of checking off things, but he wants our heart to be right with him. The verse continues, mine ears thou hast opened. Now, if one of the commentators is saying that's a reference to the Old Testament where you had a slave and they had completed their obligation and they got freed and they wanted to remain a slave and they could get their ear, you know, pierce their earlobe, and that was a commitment that they were gonna, you know, remain a servant of this. And so one of the commentators, or maybe more than that, was saying that, well, that's what he's talking about here, that his ears were opened. But I don't think so. I think the idea of ears being opened is the idea that we're paying attention. We're listening to what God says. And not just one ear, but it's plural. My ears thou hast opened. Are your ears open to what God has to say to you in this book? Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Now, if you think about the different offerings that's mentioned in this verse, the sacrifice, that was an offering that where blood was shed. And then we had the offering, that was a something that was offered to God, which was didn't require blood to shed, like maybe a meal offering or something like that. And then you had the burnt offering. Well, that's an offering where it involves total consumption of what's being offered. And the sin offering, that's a payment for our sin. And in this verse, David's saying, that's not really what you wanted, God. What did you want? You wanted obedience. Same thing God desires for us. We continue in verse 7. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book is written of me. Now, some of the commentators are saying that this is actually a messianic promise looking toward Christ. There is some indications, sort of veiled in Scripture, that David was going to come to the throne, and that his line was going to, you know, continue down through. And that's what this is talking about, that it's prophesied that David and his line are going to, you know, come into power. In verse 8, I delight to do thy will. Now, there's one thing you can do God's will.
I'm going to go to church because I have to. I'm going to read the Bible the whole way through because the preacher said I should.
That's not what David's talking about. He says, I delight. The idea is that he gets joy out of doing God's will. I delight to do thy will, O my God. And he has the word my there. This is a personal relationship with God. Each one of us need to have a personal relationship with God. And that's, how do we get that? The confession of our sin, repentance, and accepting Jesus as our Savior. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Law within your heart. Does that mean the thing that pumps the blood, you know, you got this in there? No. When the Bible's speaking heart, that's your innermost being, your innermost feelings, who you really are. He's not saying that God's law is in his head. There's a lot of people that know the information. But is it really in their heart? Is it really applied to who they are? In verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. What's David saying? He's been a witness. He's told other people what's right, what God wants them to happen. I preach righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. He's using the Lord as his witness. God, you understand that I've not been quiet about you. What about us? It's real easy just to let things slide, not be very vocal for the Lord. I want to encourage you. Speak up for the Lord. Verse 10. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. But I thought the Bible said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And now David's saying, I didn't hide it. What's he talking about? This is a different kind of hiding. The word, when you're hiding God's word in your heart, that means you're making it part of you. It's becoming. But this hiding his righteousness, he's not. I'm using the word to define the word. That's not going to work. He's not hiding. He's not concealing God's righteousness within himself. He's not keeping it to himself. Thy word, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. In other words, I didn't keep it to myself. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. What about us? Are we declaring God's faithfulness? Has God been faithful to you? Yeah. Has God provided salvation? And the word salvation can be speaking of salvation from sin. And it also, the word salvation means deliverance. And it can be those times that God has delivered us from health issues, from dangerous situations, from whatever. David's not keeping quiet about how God has helped him and led him in the past. At the end of verse 10, I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the whole congregation. In other words, David left people know what God was doing for him. We talk about loving kindness here. That word actually occurs 240 times in the Old Testament. What's it mean? Well, the Hebrew involves God's strength. It involves God's steadfastness. And it involves God's love. It's not just that God loves us with some emotional cushy thing. And it's not just that he fulfilling some legal obligation to us. But he really cares about us and he does something. He does something about it. It also is talking here about not only his loving kindness, but his truth. What's truth? Truth doesn't always make you feel good. Did you notice that? Sometimes God has to speak truth to us. Before you can become a Christian and place your faith in Jesus Christ, you've got to understand the truth that you're a sinner. Right? If you're going to be living in the way God wants you to, you've got to understand the truth that some of the things that we may do are sin. And we need to repent and confess them. So David's saying, you know, God's loving kindness and his truth, he's revealing to the people around him. Verse 11, withhold not thy tender mercies from me. He's pleading with God, don't keep your mercies. I need your mercy. Guess what? We all need God's mercy on a daily basis. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. You see, we need that balance of God's love and God's truth. And when those things are balanced together in a proper way, God will be preserving our lives. Verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Innumerable. That's a good many, right? Okay? Innumerable evils. Now, when it's talking about evils, that's problems, things in the world. It says they come past me. There's going to be problems in your life. There's going to be problems in the world that you have no control over, right? You may get an illness. You may end up in downtown Greencastle and there's a riot goes on, and, you know, and you just happen to stumble into it or whatever. There are innumerable evils that are around us. And they, you know, they can get a hold of us. They can affect our life. But then the verse moves on. It says, mine iniquities have taken hold of me. So the innumerable evils are things without ourselves that are affecting us. But the iniquities are things that we've done. The consequences of sin, of choices that we've made. And so when we look, we got problems that are our fault. And we got problems that aren't our fault. And David was the point, at one time he was at the point he was so discouraged that I'm not able to look up. We can get in a situation where things are so bad that we don't know what to do. David was there. It says, they are more than the hairs of mine head. So I raise my question, how many hairs is on a head? Now that varies a lot and it changes every day. But the average head has 100,000 hairs on it. Blondes have more. And redheads have the least. Redheads are like 90,000. Blondes, I think it might have been 150,000 or something. And the color of hair has to do with how the light reflects through it and the number of hair and all that kind of thing. But anyway, so let's say you have 100,000 hairs on your head. You know, that's how many problems David feels like he's got. In other words, there's just more than a count. Another thing I learned about hair, which is interesting, that you have hairs all over your body. Didn't know that. Even on your lips, it says. And that every hair comes out of a follicle, and every follicle was on your body when you were born. So, and when that follicle gets damaged, then, well, your hair leaves, okay? All right. So anyway, so much about your hair. Anyway, okay, so David's got problems. There are as many as the hair on his head. And he concludes verse 12, therefore my heart faileth me. There's that much problems around that he's discouraged. He doesn't know what to do. But remember, what did he say in verse 1? He was waiting patiently on the Lord. We get in situations we don't want to do. We need to wait on the Lord. And so then we move on to the last section, which is David's dialogue with God. In verse 13, be pleased. He's being polite to God. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. What's he doing? He's asking God to deliver him from all these problems. Problems are of his makings and problems that are not his fault. Deliver me, O Lord, make haste to help me. In other words, be eager, be ready to help me. He wants God's help. I don't know why, but a lot of times we don't go to God for help until there's no other possible solution. We need to put it out there. He already knows what our problems is, or he just wants us to show dependence on him. Verse 14, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. He's asking God to protect him from the people that were after his lives. Remember? Saul tried to kill him. Then there was Goliath. There was all kinds of situations where Absalom, remember his son Absalom? His fine son Absalom? Hey, Dad, you're too old. I'm going to be king now. So, you know. He was pleading with God to protect him during those of people that wanted to destroy him. And there's people out there that, I don't know if they're physically going to want to kill you, but they're going to want to ruin your testimony. They're going to challenge you because they want to see you fail. Why do unsaved people want to see Christians fail? Because we shine the light on their sin. We make them feel guilty. And if they can get us to stumble and get us to fail, then they don't feel as bad. So David's saying, hey, get those people that are after me, you know, you take care of them. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. He's pleading with God, the people that are after him, protect me, O Lord. In verse 15, let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha. Again, he's praying for God, protection for those people that are seeking to do him harm. In verse 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. You're a believer. You're seeking God. Where is our joy? Where is our hope or happiness at? It's in the Lord. That's where we get our confidence. The verse continues, let such as love thy salvation say continually. To love the salvation, that's appreciate God's deliverance. Do you love the salvation that God's given you? The fact that God's forgiven you from your sin, that you're not, there's no penalty for it? What are we supposed to be doing? Saying continually, the Lord be magnified. If you're God's child, and if you've been saved, you need to be glorifying God. You need to be praising Him. The unsaved person has no desire to glorify God. They don't have a relationship, but we do. In verse 17, but I am poor and needy. David's saying this. He's a king. How poor is he? What does he need? He's talking about in a spiritual sense. It don't matter how much money you got or how fancy of things you have in this life. We are all spiritually needy in and of ourselves. David says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Did you ever think about that? And we've already talked about this. God thinks about you. You are in His thoughts. I can't comprehend how He can have 7 billion people and keep them all straight. But I'm not God. I don't need to figure that out. God thinks about us. In the end of the verse, thou art my help and my deliverer. When you look at what's going on in the world, President Trump's not going to rescue everything. I'll just leave it there. I was going to make a political comment, but the president's not going to do it. Education's not going to solve all our problems. You know, some great invention, is not going to solve all our problems. Thou art my help. God is our help. He's our deliverer. Make no tearing, oh my God. He's asked God, come on, God. And it started out in the beginning, he was patiently waiting on God. Now he's at the point, come on, God, get with it. I can relate to that. I start out with a good motive, but, sometimes God's like, God, come on. I need to see something happen here. Anyway, as you think about what all's gone on in our world in the last 3 months, it's really easy to get discouraged. I've talked to a lot of people, both Christians and non-Christians, that are really struggling, they're really confused, they're really discouraged. As believers, we need to remember God is in control. He is the one that we can count on, and He's going to deliver us in His time and in His way. And I don't want to go a step further, and that's if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You don't have a relationship with God. You are in God's thoughts. He loved you enough that He sent His Son Jesus into this world, left all the glories of heaven, came into this world, was beaten, abused, died, and paid the penalty for your sin because somebody had to pay for it. It's either going to be you accepting His payment, or you're going to have to pay for it. So I want to encourage you, if you've never come into a relationship, today is the day that you need to really do that. Because we don't know if we have tomorrow. So if you've got any questions about that, or you want to explain a little more, I'd love to talk to you. If it's a commitment that you need to make, if there's any kind of commitment that you feel that you'd like to make, the altar's open. You can come forward and, you can pray, whether it's being more patient, waiting on the Lord to deliver, some sort of a commitment, maybe something we've talked about today, or maybe it's for salvation. If you've got any questions about anything, any of the pastors would love to talk to you about it. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the fact that as David, who You described as a man after Your own heart, and yet he had a lot of problems when we look at the situation. He understood he was dependent on you. He wanted to be a witness for you. Lord, pray that you would guide us, help us to be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.